Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 2, we're beginning with text number 3. Persecuted by the demoniac kings, the Yadavas left their own kingdom and entered various others, like those of the Kurus, Panchalas, Kekayas, Shalvas, Vidarbhas, Ishadas, Videhas, and Koshalas. Text 4 to 5. Ekaitam anurundana gyataya paryupasate ateshu satshu baleshu devakya anugrasina eke some of them Tam Andakangsa Anurundana, exactly following his policy. Gyataya, relatives, Paryupasate, began to agree with him. Ateshu, having been killed. Shatsu, six. Paleshu, children. Devakya, born of Devaki. Anugrasenina, by the sons of Ugrasena, Kangsa. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Some of their relatives, however, began to follow Kangsa's principles and act in his service. After Kangsa, the son of Ugrasena, killed the six sons of Devaki, a plenary portion of Krishna entered her womb as a seventh child, arousing her pleasure and her lamentation. That plenary portion is celebrated by great sages as Ananta, who belongs to Krishna's second quadruple expansion. Purport. Some of the chief devotees, such as Akrura, stayed with Kangsa to satisfy him. They did this for various purposes. They all expected the Supreme Personality of Godhead to appear as the eighth child as soon as Devaki's other children were killed by Kangsa, and they were eagerly awaiting his appearance. By remaining in Kangsa's association, would be able to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead take birth and display his childhood pastimes. And Akura would later on go to Vrindavan to bring Krishna and Balaram to Mathura. The word Paryupasate is significant because it indicates that some devotees wanted to stay near Kangsa in order to see all these pastimes of the Lord. The six children killed by Kangsa had formerly been the sons of Marichi, but because of having been cursed by a brahmana, they were obliged to take birth as grandsons of Hiranyakashipu. Kangsa had taken birth as Kalanimi, and now he is obliged to kill his own sons. This was a mystery. As soon as the sons of Devaki were killed, they returned to their original place. The devotees wanted to see this also. Generally speaking, no one kills his own nephews. But Kangsa was so cruel that he did so without hesitation. Ananta Sankarshan belongs to the second chapter of Yuha, or quadruple expansion. This is the opinion of experienced commentators. Translation again. Some of their relatives, however, began to follow Kangsa's principles and act in his service. After Kangsa, the son of Ugrasena, killed the six sons of Devaki, a plenary portion of Krishna entered her womb as her seventh child, arousing her pleasure and her lamentation. That plenary portion is celebrated by great sages as Ananta, who belongs to Krishna's second quadruple expansion. I would imagine that if we had the opportunity to be in Mathura and we heard that Krishna was going to appear in a certain number of years, we might stay around even with Kangsa. waiting for Krishna's appearance. To be able to see a person who's has unlimited beauty would be quite a experience. And what to speak of making friends with someone who had unlimited knowledge, unlimited wealth. You wouldn't have to worry about support if your best friend was Krishna. So, these devotees serve Kamsa in some ways, but of course, we cannot imagine what state of consciousness they were in. They were not in material consciousness even before Krishna appeared. They were transcendental, and therefore they could understand how even Kamsa's activities were part of Krishna's pastimes. And therefore they were able to patiently wait for Krishna's appearance, and they were not disturbed by Kamsa or by his activities. Matter of fact, it would be quite interesting to meet Kamsa's, council. Could you imagine going to a meeting, and there at the meeting is Aristasura, Bakasura, Putana, Agasura, Denukasura, they're all sitting there. And then you're invited to the meeting. Probably, anyhow, you'd have to be quite transcendental to sit there for the whole meeting. You may not appreciate the agenda. In any case, it must have been quite interesting to be in Mathura at that time. It's described how beautiful the city was, that the gates were made out of gold. There were beautiful lotus flowers in the lakes there, and everyone had a very beautiful house. The streets were nicely paved with roads, and there were peacocks everywhere. There was no air pollution. The water was pure. The food was pure. People in general were satisfied, and Krishna was going to appear there. Could you imagine coming to Mathura with Krishna, maybe riding in the chariot behind the Kuras, and you get there and Krishna enters into Mathura, and there's one hunchback lady carrying sandalwood paste, and she takes the sandalwood paste and smears it all over Krishna's body, and Krishna goes underneath her chin and yanks her chin up. She becomes a beautiful young girl and starts yanking at Krishna's dhoti, and then Krishna agrees to come to her house, and then he meets a washerman with all these beautiful clothing, and Krishna says, "Can you give me some clothes?" And the washerman starts chastising Krishna. Then you stand back. And he says, "Krishna, you know," he says, "boy, don't mess with the clothes of the king. I have personal experience that anyone who wants to take the clothes of the king, he'll be chastised severely." And Krishna, in response, takes his hand and just cuts his head off with one karate chop. You can see the washerman's head rolling around and all his assistants fleeing. And then Krishna dividing up the clothes with his Balaram and the coward boys, and they look like they're newly dressed actors on a theatrical scene. So it must be quite interesting to be in Mathura at that time. Could you imagine being there and hearing the sound of the Krishna going up to where the bow was, picking it up and cracking it, stringing it and cracking it, and imagine hearing the bow of Lord Shiva being split in half by Krishna, and all the guards rushing towards Krishna going, "Kill him, kill him." And then Krishna picking up the bow and the guards and the army that Kamsa sends and killing them one after another, just like a hawk kills a bunch of deer. And then seeing Kamsa in great fear and anxiety, not being able to sleep at night, having insomnia, and seeing his own shadow, seeing his footprint, he's seeing his walking, but there's no footprints, and he's riding in a chariot with skeletons, and he's looking in the mirror and he can't see anything. Must have been quite an exciting time. But it's there also, because that's Srimad Bhagavatam. If we become Krishna conscious enough, we can actually go back in our transcendental time machine called Srimad Bhagavatam and actually be there with Krishna and Balaram and Akrura and the washing man. We can actually be there and experience directly the pastimes. So then life becomes interesting. Right now we're just experiencing whatever we're experiencing, probably downtown Ljubljana or whatever it is. Not quite as interesting as Krishna's pastimes. And not quite as pleasant a city as Mathura or Vrindavan or Dwarka. But Srimad Bhagavatam allows us to enter into that transcendental land if we become qualify ourselves to do so. So that's what Srimad Bhagavatam is about. Part of that is to understand, be anxious to become Krishna conscious. If we think Krishna consciousness is just a little bit nicer than my present consciousness, then we won't be very much excited. It's like when the time for the deities, greeting the deities, then how much anxious are we to actually go and see the deities? Or do we think, oh, here we're going to see whatever we may be thinking, here's some statues, we're going to see them again. But if we actually saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Panchatattva, then how much anxious would we be when they opened the curtains to see the Supreme Lord with his associates? And if we could actually have the transcendental ears, we could actually hear them chanting the holy name along with us while we're doing kirtan. So then our experience would be completely different from what it is when we're covered by mundane consciousness. But still, if we come and see the deities, if we chant Hare Krishna, if we hear these literatures, then gradually something will enter into our heart, and as our heart becomes, as the remembrance of Krishna, as Krishna appears within our consciousness, then we become purified, and gradually our spiritual senses will be awakened, so we'll be able to experience what's actually going on in these pastimes. Not only externally, but not only internally, but also externally, we'll see that there's nothing but Krishna's pastimes eternally. Everything is Krishna's pastimes. The only problem is that we don't experience how everything is Krishna's pastimes. But if we do that, then there's no more problems. And if we don't, there's nothing but problems, because that's what the conditioned pastimes are meant for, just to give us one problem after another until we finally accept to enter into Krishna's service, and therefore become qualified to enter into his pastimes, and then there's no more problems, although it may appear externally that there may be problems. Just like it appears externally that these associates are of Krishna are associating with a demon and perhaps even serving him, but actually it's all part of Krishna's pastimes. It's all part of Krishna's pleasure pastimes. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Yes. We have a microphone here.
Maharaj, when you speak about Krishna's pastimes, somehow they become so lively. And my Gurudev said that when you meditate on Krishna's qualities, then you fall in love with him. So may I ask you, what is your favorite quality of Krishna and why?
I don't know. I don't even know any of his qualities. Favorite? Well, I guess generally the devotees always answer Bhaktivatsala, that he's the dearmost friend and well-wisher of his devotees. Because without that, nothing else would be very interesting. If you have someone who's very affectionate to you, very, very loving, then everything about him becomes nice. So because Krishna is unlimitedly affectionate towards his devotees, all the other qualities shine. Anything else? Hvala. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.